Phoenix Chapter 4, and we'll touch on a couple other things. As usual. If you want to know anything about the test, I think tests are next week. Exams next week. It's your quizzes. Whatever your quizzes are, that's what the tests are going to be. It's gonna be all your quizzes together. So I'll make it really easy for you. So it'll be simple. Let me start off reading something a friend of mine sent me. We've been reading the book of Acts every day. If you want to jump in on that, we've been doing the prayer groups, and then the prayer groups and the meditation groups. So I got about 6 or 7 groups going on my phone every day. So I got the groups with LTMA. I got groups with the Master Vision Basel LTMA. I got a group going with my whole family, with my brothers and my sisters, and my sister-in-law, and my cousin, a couple of my cousins in there. I got a group going on with about 50 of the young people at the church, young adults at the church. I got a group with the young ushers in the church. I'm about to start another group right after this class with our intercessors. And every morning, everybody just sending in their prayers. It's a powerful thing when you know that everybody's praying. It's not that you weren't praying before, but it's just you know everybody's praying. It's not really a hawking situation where I'm like, where your prayers at? It's just, you know, we're all, and it's good to see everybody saying they're praying too. But one part of that I was saying is we're reading the book of Acts with Apostle. And so we're like on the same page. And the people talking about, well, I used to hear people saying, what you studying, Apostle? Teach us how to study, what you studying? Well, tomorrow he'll be on Acts chapter 6. All right, so if you want to be on the same page, today we did Acts chapter 5. Tomorrow we'll be on Acts chapter 6. Next day, 7. Next day, 8. We're going to go through till we finish the book of Acts, and we're probably going to start over again. The reason he got us doing that is the book of Acts starts really showing what the church is really about. Somewhere along the line, we talked about that before, that we got away from it. And we got into the rituals and the traditions of the church and of the synagogue, and we left the miracle somewhere. Don't know where exactly we left them, but we left them somewhere. We've been talking about Jesus, but not being like Jesus. Y'all remember that? And so the book of Acts is powerful. I mean, every time I'm reading, I'm learning new stuff about, you know, just what went on, even outside of the walls. And so we were reading, and a friend of mine sent me this the other day. It's a commentary in the front of her Bible. And it says this, it said, the book of Acts gives us a clear and vivid picture of how the church should operate. It shows us that we need unity in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that we need to constantly reach out to others and help people. Y'all heard that? Did y'all hear that? That we need to constantly reach out to others and to help people. In this book, talking about Acts, we see that the Holy Spirit is given free reign in our lives and in the church. There is tremendous growth in the kingdom of God and in our lives as individuals. As you read Acts, I pray that you see that Christianity is so much more than going to church. I'm talking about the church building. It is allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us in all affairs of our lives. He came to help and empower us in every area of our lives. Not just the parts that we call spiritual, and they got quotes in there. Not just the parts that we call spiritual, it's very powerful. We are not to divide our lives into secular and sacred. Everything about us belongs to God, and he wants to be involved in all of it. And like the part he says, so we should not divide our lives into sacred and secular. We tend to think, I remember I ministered to our staff one time, and there's no separation. There's no separation in your life as far as God is concerned. There's not a spot that's more holy than another spot. There's not a time of day for you that's more holy than another time of day. There's not a day of a week that's more holy than another day of the week as far as God is concerned to you. Every day is a holy day to God. Every moment is a spiritual moment to God. As far as you're concerned, every moment he's looking for you to be yielded. You know, we get a little extra yielded on Sundays. Tell the truth, right? Or we're a little extra yielded during the week. Like we come to class, we're a little extra yielded tonight. We may be a little extra yielded tonight than we were today, whatever we were doing. If I went to work this morning, and you had to deal with some people that wasn't in ministry school. I deal with some people that just didn't know anything about Jesus, right? Right. Well, all of that matters to God, too. I like that statement, man. What I may do is try to email it to y'all or get some kind of way you can read it, or you better go back and watch it again, because it says it's our job to reach out and help people. It's our job. It's more than just being spiritual and coming to the church house. It's about reaching out. It's about not dividing ourselves sacred and secular. you know, traditional church and religious church pushes us to do that. And so we tend to feel not as spiritual when we should be more spiritual in those places. Where is the spirit more needed? Think about it for a minute. Where is a spiritual moment more needed? Here right now with us? Or out there with people that don't have no idea where the spirit is coming from? And I never forget, there's a scripture in the Bible says, the lesser person needs more honor. It says that in the scripture. It's talking about you should bestow more honor upon the person that you deem to be the lesser. You know, which we shouldn't be deeming somebody to be the lesser, but you get what I'm saying. And we tend to put our foot on their necks and expect them to change without showing them the love and the power of God that will enable them to change. All right, this is talking about adding to the church. The Acts talking about that. They're added to the church daily. They added to the church daily. Well, why are we not added? Why we get a member every so often? And they came from somebody else's church. Think about that for a minute. Why the people that need to be here aren't there? Because it's somewhere we're missing. We're disconnected. We separated sacred and secular. We made so many. What we do? You ever seen a pie chart before? Everybody seen the pie chart before? Where you know you got the, you know, this much money spent on food and this much money spent on utilities and this. We pie charted our lives out. To the point where this part over here is more spiritual than this part over here. But God don't see no lines on that. He just sees you. Matter of fact, he don't even see you. He sees him inside of you. All he sees is Jesus. When did Jesus separate his time? Name it, come on. When did he separate? When did he say, I'm going to be more spiritual today? Today is going to be the one right here. I'm going to pray in tongues real hard on Saturday. Sabbath, you know what I'm saying? Like when he didn't do it. It was just the and I want us to understand. I think I love Church Unusual because I want us to understand. I need us to understand. We need to understand what's going on. And once we can get over the tradition, over the religion, and over the cool church stuff, and the saying the right thing at the right time, and knowing the right scriptures, and knowing how to quote and you know, got all the church jargon. When we get over that, and praise the Lord for all that, but when we get over that and realize that it's just the lifestyle and that we should walk, the Lord told me something. He said you are built to progress. He said, I built you in drive. I didn't put a reverse in you. He said you are built to move forward and make progress in my will. He said, you're built that way. Whether you tried, he said, you were built that way. He said, I made you like that. That's me inside of you. He said, I made you that way. And so he said, the only reason you don't make progress is because something in your mind is holding you back, or some old ways are holding you back, or some old thing that you got caught up with, a mindset is holding you back from making progress. But you're built to be that way. You're built to move forward. We're built to be spiritual. We're built to be anointed. We're built to be sacred. We're built to be supernatural. It is just who you are. Just as simple as they call them in science, you used to call them involuntary motions. Are there some motions that are involuntary? That means you don't volunteer for this. You've been called for it. You know, when they call you, there's not a volunteering. When they call you to the draft in the Army, anybody that dealt with the Army, when they call you to the draft, you don't have, there's nothing to talk about. Get your stuff together and be where they told you to be when they told you to be there, because you've been drafted. It's an involuntary. It's not a volunteer. Ooh, me, I want to go. No. Here am I, Lord. No. You. It's involuntary. The supernatural is involuntary in you. Just as like right now, you have to do nothing extra to make your heart beat. You couldn't do nothing right now to make your heart beat if you wanted to. You can't do nothing else. You breathe in, breathe out. It's just involuntary. You don't even have to think about it. It's an involuntary action. It does. Your blood is flowing through your veins right now. It's involuntary. You're not. Make your blood, no, it's flowing on it. It's involuntary. It's an involuntary action. It just does what it does with or without your help. It's involuntary. And we are built with involuntary supernatural on the inside of us if we just yield. Now, the problem is that we fight. We fight because we don't understand. We fight because of our ways that we picked up. Amen. Come on. We fight because of all these things that we learned the church was. And so because we have those, God told me that he said, I'll put you in a new level. But if you got the old level mindset, you can't even maximize the level that you're on. I put you in a whole nother place of supernatural. But if you still have the old man mindset, I'm not even talking about your sinner. I'm not even talking about, we're talking about old man, we start thinking about the raggedy stuff, right? Right? We start thinking about the big sins. Y'all know, right? No. Just thinking opposite of the supernatural is the old man. Thinking opposite of the fact that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me is the old man. So if I'm here and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but yet I think like the old man that I can't, then I can't even maximize this over here, what God created me to be. And this is what's happened to the church. We are in a place right now, understand the power that we have. I got to read this. Understand where we are. When Jesus came and showed us how he lived and showed us how the church is supposed to be, you know, he's the head, right? And showed us what the church is supposed to look like. When he left, he said, I won't leave you comfortless. He said, I'll send another comfort. He said, I got to leave so he can come. Y'all remember that? He said, if I don't leave, he can't come. And I'm going to send you a comfort. His name is the Holy Ghost. He go, guide you in all truth. Show you things that you do not know. Teach you all things. You know, we know we can go by the Holy Spirit all day long. He searches all things. Yea, the deep things of God. He reveals the mystery to us. All these things that the Holy Spirit, build ourselves up in the Holy Spirit. All these things that the Holy Spirit does for us. It is in our dispensation as the church. Because Jesus left, because he died, rose again, and ascended, we had the Holy Ghost now. We have a right to the Holy Ghost. Let's jump back. Before Jesus, there was no right to the Holy Ghost. Old Testament. Y'all ever read the Old Testament before? We wouldn't have made it, would have. We wouldn't have made it. Now. I know I wouldn't have made it. In the Old Testament, the ground was opened up and swallowing people. People were catching leprosy for just talking about people. Right? Come on. How many times we would have caught leprosy? All right, now we're going to talk about that. Think about this. Oh, man, that stuff was going on, man. God wasn't playing. And then you had to depend on one man. So that means if I was God called man at that time, first of all, I had to be a certain bloodline. But if I was God called man at that time, you wasn't going to hear nothing unless I told you what God said. So now you were depending on me. So Lord, please let him be in your will. You didn't have no contact. You didn't have personal contact. He wasn't at the house with you. He was where he was. And when he decided to visit, that's when he visited. His Old Testament. Thank God for, and God did a lot of miracles in the Old Testament. He did a lot of wild stuff in the Old Testament. You read the Bible, you see a lot of wild stuff. But they didn't have the Holy Ghost. They didn't have a personal relationship with the Father. They couldn't step into the throne room. They couldn't walk into the Holy of Holies. They had their veil. Couldn't do it. They couldn't access supernatural when they wanted to. They couldn't be supernatural. They had to experience the supernatural. Had to have moments in the supernatural, but they couldn't consistently be supernatural because there was no Jesus Christ on the inside of them. There was no same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of me. That scripture didn't exist for them. So now, we back on the other side. We on the right side of Jesus. You know, if you look in your timeline, we on the other side of Jesus. We on the other side of his life, and we have all these things at our hand, but yet there's more miracles going on back then than there are right now. Why is this? For us to operate without the Holy Spirit being in full control, and for us to operate without the Holy Spirit having full control of the ship, our ship, without him having full control, we begin to put ourselves in an Old Testament lifestyle, meaning no church. Meaning now they're back in the synagogues. Now they're back building temples where only a few people could go in. Now we're back where there's a veil and there's a holy of holies. And if you try to go in and you're not together, you'll die. And once a year, somebody got to go here. Then you got to go kill the bulls now. Now we got to make all these sacrifices. We're back here. It's cute when we read Bible stories. I love the Bible. It's cute when we read the Bible stories and really don't realize what it entails. I don't really know if you know what it entails to do a sacrifice. The sacrifice of bull, right? You know, we think, oh, he sacrificed a bull. No, there's a lot of blood, a lot of smells. Huh? How many of y'all get a little woozy when you see a lot of, Lord, I can't see that. Well, you'd have had to see it or you was going to be cursed. You're going to have to put your hands to it. Uh-oh. And then you got to burn everything up. No, ain't no steaks. Ain't no steaks. No steak dinners. You don't get to keep none. You got to burn it all up. Listen to me. We don't know anything about sacrifice. We give a few little dollars in church and tithes or whatever. You don't understand. That's the people's livelihood. That's another thing about the sacrifice, too. That's what they were living off of. They wasn't selling cows. They was living off of them. Understand this. So we don't understand. I think because we don't understand the freedom that we have on this end, we've allowed mass mind, and the enemy loves it. The enemy is so cool with how the church is today. The church as a whole, he cool with it. The enemy is a member of a lot of people's churches. The devil, yeah, he come on the regular. Perfect attendance. Be there for prayer and everything. Taking notes. Taking notes. So I can know, I'm knowing how to trick them. Because she wrote them notes down and she thought that she got it. But she's not going to look at it no more. Getting them. Yeah, I'm going to make you feel like you're spiritual. I'm going to let you fall out. Make you feel like you done something today. I never forget an apostle say, you come to church, you fall out and get up the same way you fell. What's the point? Cried and got all snotty, right? Come on. Oh, geez, right? And I'm not knocking your moment with the Lord. I'm not knocking it. But I'm saying, where's the change? It ain't church till it change. It is not church. You are not church until change takes place. You can look at the book of Acts. I just read that little piece about Acts from Acts in there. You can look at the book of Acts. There was change. There was bona fide change everywhere. And most of the change, if not all of the change, was not inside the walls. You know, when they had the moment where the Holy Ghost came down upon them that first time, remember they were waiting on them. You remember they're waiting? Jesus said, wait for them. So they're waiting in there. And finally, the Holy Ghost come down. They start speaking all these different languages. You know, even with that move, listen to how it is, bro. We got to catch on to the wave of what the Holy Ghost is doing. Even with that move and with the Holy Ghost falling upon them like that and giving them an obvious sign that this is for other people and not just for you, because you got to realize the Holy Ghost fell upon them and you started speaking Spanish and you started speaking French. And you started speaking Swahili, and you started speaking whatever else, you name a different language, and you started speaking all those different things. You started speaking Brazilian, Portuguese, started speaking all these different languages. Hey, but you don't know that. You didn't know that language. You didn't know it. But as soon as the Holy Ghost come, you start speaking in that language, clear. And the people around say, they're speaking in my native language. They're speaking of where I come from. But they're not from where I come from. He from Gazma. I know he don't know no Swahili, right? I know he don't know this, but it's an obvious sign that if God is going to do that, and I see them knowing that I'm speaking another language, it's obvious that I must go this way, because this must be what he got me going to do. It must be for these people. It's an obvious sign if you really read it right. God still had to send persecution in that area just to get them from getting out of that same place. They were going to build a church right there. They were going to build a church building. Listen to me, y'all. They were going to build a ministry right there. It's going to be called Upper Room Christian Center. It's going to be right there. And they're going to build a ministry right there. And it was not going to leave. You remember when Jesus went up there and transfigured? Y'all remember that? Y'all remember the story when Jesus transfigured? Up on the mountain, he called two of them. Only two of them came up there with him. They wanted to build tabernacles. You can't build no tabernacle here. This is an experience with God for you to take somewhere else. It is not for you to build a monument here. What does a monument here do for the will of God? We've been so monumental and trying to build so many. We're missing building the kingdom. Are y'all with me? The book of Acts is an obvious time that this should spread out. But God had to send persecution into that place in order to force them to spread. Here's how God works. We is the church. Everybody say, we the church. Come on. Come on, say, I am the church. Now as the church, you ever heard the statement say, we can do this the easy way or we can do this the hard way? Right. Say it. We can do this the easy way or we can do this the hard way. All right, now, I don't need, now, you don't know what persecution really is. You think it's because somebody talked about I used to think persecution, talking about my daddy like when I was younger. Used to hit on the bus and everything, talk about him. People got stuff to say. Y'all probably heard people say stuff about him, right? We think that's persecution. Persecution was not that. In the book of Acts, persecution was, I'm trying to murder you. I'm going to lock you up. I want to kill you. Because you're saying something that I don't want you to say. You're saying something against them. This is persecution. That's persecution. We don't know persecution. And this is why I'm pushing this right now. I'm pushing this button because it's easier for us to be the church right now. We look at all these different things and we take the negative out of everything. You know, pessimistic, optimistic. Pessimistic, optimistic. Pessimists say glass half empty, right? Optimists say glass half full, right? They always see the positive side, right? You know, we have our great victory speech in church. This is how we are. We have our victory speech, and we quote this. But we're nothing but more positive pessimists. Think about it for a second. We're nothing but more positive pessimists. We're not really optimists. You know, optimists, the long word for optimist is optimize. You make the most of it. You make the most of what you have. Optimize, right? But we don't really do that. We are positive pessimists. I don't even know if that makes sense. But we still look on the empty side of the glass more than we look on the full side. We still look at everything as a negative thing. So we look and we get caught up with everything. The enemy keep fooling us. As long as we don't see through the junk, he'll constantly. As long as we don't see through the junk, as long as we don't see Christ and start seeing through it. As long as we don't see Christ and start seeing through it, he keep us fooled. All this freedom of speech. Right? Freedom of speech, right? Y'all know the amendments and all that. Well, we look at that and the way they put it, like, well, they can go say whatever they want to say. No. That's a blessing for us. You know, there's some places right now in the world that you cannot proclaim Jesus Christ, and they'll lock you up and beat you. We got it easy. Land of the free, the home of the, we got it easy. But we still struggling. The enemy still got us acting like we under bondage. Why is this? Think about that for a moment. Why is this? As a whole, why is it like that? It's a trick. We have identity crisis. We don't know what the church is. We know that we've just been studying the last couple of classes that Jesus Christ is the example of the church. He's the head of the church. So that's what it's supposed to look like. But think about how many people, how many church buildings, how many church members, how many members of the church that you go to, that you stand around, don't really know that. How many preachers don't know it? And so we go through, I know how to do the preaching thing. I've been a preacher for a long time. I know how to do it. I know how to preach. I've been in some back offices, and I've been behind the curtain of a lot of your favorite preachers. And I hear them talking. I hear how they do things, and I hear the games, and I hear the offering splits that they want to do, and I hear all the different things that have nothing to do with the supernatural power of God taking over and invading the world. So we've been somewhat tricked, and so we go through the 12-step program and the 13 steps of what it is to be a good church. No, a good church is results. A good church is loving people. A good church is reaching outside of the walls to touch somebody else. A good church is enabling the people that meet, that when a normal place becomes a special place on our Sunday mornings and our whatever our Bible study day is, it's empowering those people that come. Those people that come know why they're coming. I preached a message one time and I said, how many of y'all got in your car tonight and drove all the way down here and realized that it was for somebody else? Like you, when you got in your car, like tonight, I'm gonna ask y'all this about school. Who was this for? Who you coming to school for? Actually, last week I think too. Who you coming here for? You came here to get your papers. If you came here to get your papers, you loser. You immediately loser right at this moment. You need to go back and take another dip. Go pray about it. You might need to turn your papers in. If you came in because you're trying to validate what God is doing inside of you, you're missing it. Did you get in your car when you stepped in your car? You know, when you stepped in your car, you open your door and say, can't wait to go get this word tonight for somebody else. You didn't. You thought you was going to your class. You come to your class because you got to go pass your test. Right? Right? You going to No. The empowerment is in when there's a meeting like this, or when you have another class, your next class after that, when you're meeting in the sanctuary somewhere, when you have that, it is for someone else. Yes, if the water flows through me, I will get wet. If the oil flows through me, I will be lubricated with the oil. Understand? So I have access to the oil for me. I understand that. But you got to realize that the only reason the oil is there is for another, not for you. And if we don't get that, that's good church. When you got in your car and you said, I'm coming over there because I'm expecting God to show me something so I can show somebody else. It's not that you can't see. I understand we want to see. I know the scripture says that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. I know. The Lord is my shepherd. I understand that. All right? I get that. But he's only your shepherd to show your shepherd to another person. That's the only reason. That's church. Church has a whole. And I'm not saying church as a whole. I'm not saying your church personally, my church personally are in it. But church as a whole has an ego problem. It does everything solely for it. It'll do stuff to add members to their body, right? To add members to their particular ministry. Because why? Because if I could say I got 5,000 members, boy, I'd have made it. Right? Or if I'm an itinerant preacher, you know, itinerant preacher traveling around, if I could say I got, you know, I preached 52 weeks this year. I mean, we made it. You one of the primary preachers. How many eyes were open in those 52? How many people got up? How many of those unchurched people in that area came? I'm not talking about you keep preaching. How many unchurched people came? How many of your unchurched family members came? What happened supernatural? Because if it ain't nothing, if you got a 5,000 member church, ain't nothing happening supernatural, that mean everybody dying. Y'all get it? I'm trying to shake you. I'm trying to shake your religion. I'm trying to shake your tradition. I'm trying to shake your mind over what you think church is. Most of you think church is, it ain't. Church ain't hymns. It ain't built on the hymns. Church ain't even built on the praise and worship in the service. It's a part of it, but it's not built on that. It's not just that. Name who opened up for Jesus. Come on. Who opened up for him? And I ain't got nothing wrong. I sing praise and worship. Yesterday morning, come on, everybody, let's worship the Lord. I'm with it. Understand the place of worship. But who opened up for him? She's out there on the ship. Who started the songs? You know, you preach on the side of the ship because he had to go out from the bank of so many people. Who started the songs? Did it list it? It didn't list it, huh? I didn't list it. The psalmist. I didn't see it. We got to get up, man. Come on, y'all. Y'all get what I'm saying? I know I'm attacking some things. You be like, and inside of it, sometimes you feel like, Lord. And I'm attacking them for a reason. I'm attacking them for a reason. Because we attack those things, sometimes those things and those mindsets are the thing that's holding us back from being everything that God wants us to be. Your worship will be better when you understand what it's about. You get it? Do y'all get it? So I'm attacking all these things. I'm attacking all this stuff that we think is church. We had good church this morning, right? Boy, church was good. Why? Because you felt good? What did you take away from it? I know your notebook full, but what about your heart? How you gonna share this? How you gonna apply this tomorrow? Who is this for? On your way to church that morning, did you think about somebody else? When you was praying in tongues and intercessory prayer before service, what was you praying for? Come on, man. Come on. Think about why you do what you do. Why do you do what you do? Come on. Ask yourself, why do you do what you do? Not just church stuff either. Why you do what you do? Who is for? And I want to see Jesus. I want to see him. I want to be clear on him. I'm looking for him. I'm looking, Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Huh? Go over there and read it real quick. Hebrews 12:2. Go ahead and read it right quick. I'm looking unto him. I'm looking for him. I'm trying to see him. If I can see him, I can see me. If I can see Jesus, then I can see what I look like. If I can see Jesus, then I can see what I need to do in this situation. You got it? You got Hebrews 12:2? If you got it, read it, Carlton. Read it loud so they can hear you. Y'all see that? Look at it. Everybody read. Ready, read. Read together. Come on. I always do that every time. Come on. Ready, read. I'm looking at Jesus. I'm looking at Jesus to find out what I'm supposed to look like. He's the author and the finisher. Everybody say author. What does the author do? He wrote the book. He's the author. He's the author and the finisher and the living word. Come on, think about what they say about Jesus. He's the writer and he finished the work, but he was the living word. So not only did he write it, he lived it. He was it in the flesh. They say the word became flesh in Jesus. You understand that? So now I'm looking at him to see how I'm supposed to be. I'm looking at him to see what I'm supposed to look like. I'm looking at him to really get what's going on in the church. How many selfish motives Jesus had? Well, we got so many. Good question, huh? Let's pause, Selah, and calmly think about this. Why we got so many? I got so many goals and aspirations. I ain't knocking on it. You got your goals. And, you know, this is what I want to do. Thank God it's calling me to. You know, I hear you. I'm not saying Jesus is like, man, don't go tell nobody. Don't tell them I'm over here. Don't go. Sometimes he'll tell people, go back and tell your people. Go back and tell your people what great thing God has done for you. A lot of times he was like, just don't make no big deal about that. Sometimes we're totally opposite. It's not we're polar opposites of what Jesus was. Because we're extremely concerned and we're extremely caught up with what he's going to do with us. What he's going to do with us instead of what he's going to do in us, through us. We're extremely caught up with that. Remember we were talking about selfish people last week? Remember we were talking about selfish? Yeah, we can be that way sometimes, not even know it. It can just be because I want to learn more. And I get it, y'all. I get it. Like I'm like y'all got to roll with me, all right? Because I'm not saying to never. You know, we get all caught up in church about a lot of stuff. As soon as somebody say something, now we done made a law out of it. We more lawful than we know. I know he set us free from the laws. I know, but we more lawful. I know we under grace, but we some of the most lawful people. I think we more lawful than the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We just lawful. We make law out of it. So you get to talking about, it's not about me. So now you scared to say me. You scared to say I. It's not about that. And Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. But he also said, I can do nothing of myself. See, y'all get the balance? You just got to know. You got to know what's up. You got to know what the deal is with you. You got to know what the relationship is between you and God. You got to know what the relationship is between you and Jesus on the inside. You got to know what this relationship is. And you got to know really who's important in this situation. You got to really know, at the eyes of my understanding, being enlightened, I pray this prayer, right? Then I may know what is the hope of your calling. What's the hope of his calling? Do you understand what that statement is? That the eyes of my understanding, if I tap your head, the eyes of my understanding be enlightened. Come on, tap it. Come on, you got to tap it. Tap the head. That they be enlightened. Light. Everybody say light. What's the opposite of light? Dark. So now I got to come out of the dark. The eyes of my understanding be enlightened that I may know, not guess about, not try to figure out, not somebody else told me, but that I may know what is the hope. Everybody say hope. Of his calling. Oh, what does that mean? I know the hope of his calling. That I'll know what God is hoping for. That I'll know what he's hoping to happen when he called me. That I'll know that. I pray that my eyes be open so that I can know that. I'll know what God is hoping for through me. It's a lot bigger than me and my family and my house and my car and what I want to do and my ministry and what I got. You know, it's a lot bigger than that. It's a lot bigger than we use. I said this last time. Many of the things we try to use faith for, and we call it the kingdom, are really effects of the kingdom. A lot of times it's not the kingdom. A lot of times those things are effects of the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteousness. What is that? All these things, a lot of times we're using our faith on these things when it should be on what's the heart of God. These things are easy. What you need? What you need right now in your life? What you been believing God for? What you been spending your prayer time trying to get to manifest in your life? Think about it for a second. What is it? What's that thing you've been praying for? Right? Might be praying for a family member, might be praying for your kids, might be praying for some money, might be praying for some help, might be praying for a mate, might be praying for all these different things. All these things that we've been using our faith, we've been confessing towards these things. We've been confessing towards these things. These are things that are effects of the kingdom. Come on, listen to me. They are effects, cause and effect. Everybody say cause and effect. You know what cause and effect mean, right? Because of this, this happened. Cause and effect. They are effects. All these things to be added. How many of these things? All these. You know, he know you got need of these things. He's all these things to the Gentiles see. He know you need them. He know you have. He know you want these things. Cool. All these things to be added if you seek first the kingdom. What do you mean? What do you mean when seek first the kingdom? Seek my heart. Seek what my heart is. Seek what my plan is in doing this. When you come to school for why I would come to school. Why would Jesus come to school if he came to school? Uh-oh. Where'd he come from? Everything he do, he only do it because his father told him to do it. Number one, right? Right? But then it was always for another. It was always for, there's a power in doing it for another. There's a power when you understand it's not about you. As long as you caught up on you, that's what you're going to have, you. You and you going to just do it together. There's a power in understanding that it's about another. That's the hope of his calling. All the stuff we're trying to get to happen. We're going to work to try to make things happen. We're going to do all these things to try to get this stuff to happen. We're trying to will this up. These things are effects of the kingdom. Seek the kingdom first. The scripture says, ask and you receive. And it says, seek and you'll find, right? To seek and you'll find. So he didn't even say find the kingdom. He said seek the kingdom. Because you know if you seek it, if you really seek the kingdom, you're going to find it. It's knee-jerk. If you seek it, you'll find it, right? Seeking, you'll find. If you seek the kingdom, you'll find it. Find the kingdom, all the effects of the kingdom will come running after you. The reason that stuff that you need popping off in your life has not popped off like it should be is because you've been looking at it and not him. Not literally. You may not be a money monger. You know that they call it a money monger. We don't really use that. You might not be a greedy person, but I read it here, and it says all lasciviousness in Ephesians 4 and greediness. And sometimes you can be greedy. You can be greedy by not being yielded to just be a giver. Listen to me. You can end up being greedy by not being a fully yielded giver. Huh? Listen to me. You can get over, we think greedy, we think, oh, I want all of, give me all your money, I want all the money for myself. No. You're greedy if you're holding back something that you should be giving. You're greedy. We think greedy is way over the field somewhere, right? We think greedy is them other people. You know what I'm saying? We think they greedy. No, you greedy too. If you hold anything back, you're greedy. Uh-oh. If the main motive that you did it was for you, you're greedy. Online, yep, you're greedy. If you're doing it for you, and you're trying to validate who you think you are. Why you need to validate who you are anyway? His wasn't enough. Him on the inside of you ain't enough for you. Him being on the inside of you and being everything is not enough for you. What's the problem? We've been tricked. When we come here to school. We sit under the Bible, talk about it, he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfection of the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. See, when we come here, we're supposed to just solely be tutors, under tutors, to learn more so that we can be more. You're always learning. You're always learning, right? But you're learning not just for yourself, but for another. There'll be something that you're going to hear tonight. It ain't got to be in my class. It ain't got to be no nugget in my class. It could be in the next class. There's going to be something that you're going to hear tonight that you most probably can. Matter of fact, I guarantee you, there's probably something you're going to hear tonight in one of these three classes that you better use smack dab in the morning. You better use it when you go home with your kids. You better use it when you go home with whoever. You better get in the car. Stop at McDonald's. You better use it. Guarantee you. It's made that way. The word of God, the spirit of God, the power of God, the church is made that way. It is made to be constantly active. It is not made to be dormant. It is not made to be asleep. It is not just made for Sunday and Monday. World seconds, right? We got Monday. It's not made just for Sunday and Monday. It is not made for just Sunday and Wednesday night. It is made for eternity. It is made for all of the time. It is made to be constantly alive. That's what it's made for. It's not made to go to sleep or be laying there power packed, but you ain't using none of it. This may be why God can't anoint some people like he wants to anoint them, because you didn't use the bottle I gave you. I gave you talents, parable of talents. I ain't got time to go there. The parable of talents. Y'all know the parable of talents, right? Do y'all know the parable of the talents? He gave you one. Y'all know it or what? Come on. All right, hold on. He gave one. He gave another one. Uh-oh, you thinking about it now. And he gave another one. All right. And he said, according to their ability. So, I mean, whatever you got. If you got one, that's where you at. Don't trip. Don't trip, though. Like, don't. See, the enemy will get in there now. He'll make you trip. So make you feel bad about yourself. Why she got five? I got one. Well, they got two. I only got one. I look like I deserve two. Well, obviously, if the Lord didn't give you two, you wasn't worth two. He told me, boy, Lord, because the Lord told me one day, he said, you where you at because of what you've been doing. He said, that's what you're worth. And I was like, come on, God, I got to be worth more than this. He was like, no, I'm talking, I got to be worth, no. The opportunities that you got, the little few that you got open to you, that's what you're worth. See, we don't want to hear that. We don't want them conversations with God. We got our victory speech. More than a conqueror. Greater is he that is in me. You know, we make ourselves feel good. The power of Christ is on the inside of me. Same spirit, and we make ourselves feel. He do exceedingly abundantly above while we make ourselves feel good. But it's the victory speech. Where is exceeding abundantly above? One, two, five, one, two, five, one, two, five, one, two, five. According to the several buildings. You got one, that's where you at. That's cool. You got a little grown up to do, but just grow up. Doesn't mean two is better than one. It just means one is on that level. We do that. Lord asked me one day, too. He said, who you comparing yourself to? Who you comparing yourself to? So you've been comparing yourself to that preacher on TV, huh? Or sister such and such. You can look up to people. Yes, it's good to. Look up to some people. Look up. It's just looking up people, but you compare yourself to them so much, and you should be comparing yourself to Jesus. It said, Ephesians 4 said, until we measure up to the stature of Christ. Until we measure up to the stature of Christ. Right? That's what we're pushing for. We compare up to him. His shoulders up there. I'm going to measure up to the stature of him, not Reverend such and such down the street. One, two, five. One, two, five. One, two, five. According to their several abilities. So you had ability. You got ability because he wouldn't have gave you nothing if you ain't had no ability. So you got ability, but now what do? Five went made five more. Two went made two more. One dug a hole and put it in the ground because he was scared. I knew you was a hard man. God not trying to hold you back. God told me that this morning. He said, ain't nobody holding you back. He said, I ain't trying to hold you back and I ain't trying to hold you out. You can go as far forward as you allow me on the inside of you to go. He said you can come in anytime you want to. You hold yourself back because you're digging in the ground. This church, boy, that if that don't describe the church, I don't know what does. As a whole, the one talent, that joker took it and dug it in the ground. That's how we live. We so scared that God going to strike us. He up there with a lightning bolt trying to strike us down. I don't hear nothing about God condemning nobody. There is therefore now no condemnation the them which are in Christ Jesus. By thy words of thy mouth are thou condemned. God and Jesus ain't condemning nobody. You condemning yourself. Any condemnation that you got going on, you did that. And you let the enemy take it and make you think he was stronger than what he is. The enemy be taking your power and make you think he's so strong, but he really using your power against you. The church, don't it look like that? So now every Sunday we digging a hole and putting it in the ground. Majority of people that leave church on Sunday morning didn't use it at all the next day. Majority of people. Well, 1 minute, I'm done, the time over. Majority of people that got a good word yesterday. Today, Monday, right? Got a good word, didn't use none of it today, and had opportunity to do it. So what's the point? What's the point of a good word? It's for somebody else. He kept on saying in Ephesians 4, we are to love one another. Forbearing one another in love. He started talking about, I'm going to get it next week. He started talking about, you have not so, he said, you're greedy and you're lascivious. He said, but you have not so learned Christ. You didn't learn that from Christ. He started talking about your clamming, your corrupt communication coming out your mouth. He started saying all these different things. He said, love one another because we are all members of one another. Now, he wasn't talking about Word Like Christian members. He was talking about the members of humanity. Uh-oh. We are all members one of another. So you need to love them. That's God's creation, not yours. Huh? God made them. You didn't make them. Let him judge them. You ain't got to judge them. How dare you say somebody's less than because they ain't you? We do that all the time in church, though, don't we? Yeah, they can't be part of that team right now. They can't. That's God's creation. That's God's child, not yours. Amen.